We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, it is. Very good evening to you and IAB at 9:03, 55 seconds to go along with it Friday evening on your fan. New York City. Steve Summers here and you there on the other side of the glass. Nick Theodoro and no from the 1-877-337-6666. And we'll take you on another 2 hour schmooze right up until Jody Mack and Jody McDonald coming your way at 11 right here on your fan New York City, but coming your way right now at 9:04 and 30 seconds. He is with WFAN and with, of course, the column to die for with the New York Post, Brian Costello, and he covers the New York Jets. And Brian, hope you are safe and sound and healthy and making it through life as we live it in this day and age.
Well, I'm not on the Mets, Steve, so that's a start, right? Being healthy?
Yes, yeah. Well, I'll say this. I wonder if watching the Mets, and they're not doing very well tonight, I'm wondering if it's going to be, even though it's a controlled scrimmage tomorrow, and are the starters going to play more than a series or two, maybe a quarter? What is the plan?
The Jets will. I think they'll play two series, Steve, because the Jets are in a situation where they're a very young team. They've got a lot of new pieces, a lot of rookies. Right. The Giants have said they're not playing their starters. So it's going to be, I think Joe Judge is approaching it like it's the old fourth preseason game. Mm-hmm. So now they're down to three, where he's going to play a lot of his younger guys. The Jets are kind of in a different situation right now with a lot of new players, a lot of young guys. So I think they'll play two series, you know, maybe a quarter tomorrow night, and then he'll pull them out.
Okay, and that's pretty much the standard.
Yeah.
Here's question number one before we get to Zach Wilson. We want to see him, even if it's only for a play already, we want to see him take a snap and what he's going to do with that football. With Robert Saleh, you know, with the press conference when he was hired and Jets fans excited and knowing enough about Robert Saleh, that he was all fire on the sidelines, always with the energy and always with the enthusiasm. Even when he was standing still on the sidelines for the 49ers, he was a blur. So my question is, and in the press conference, it was all gas, no breaks. Have you seen all gas and no breaks from him so far?
Well, I think it's different, Steve, than probably what people expected who watched him in San Francisco. He's not jumping all over the place and yelling. He does not yell in practice. Mm-hmm. You know, some coaches who are kind of old school and scream at guys. He is not that guy. He really doesn't raise his voice in practice. He doesn't make them do laps. He doesn't make them do sprints. He is a kind of a new school coach of like, these are grown men and I'm going to treat them that way. There's definitely an energy to him. You know, it's just not, it's not quite as theatrical as what we saw in San Francisco, but he brings an energy and everyone who's around him says, you know, you can feel it in the meeting rooms. You can feel his energy and excitement. And he's a very upbeat guy, always optimistic. But it's not quite, I don't think he's going to be jumping around the sidelines tomorrow night.
Well, right. And he doesn't have to, of course. Let me ask you, because, you know, we had been hearing and reading and from you and from others that Zach Wilson was hanging around Robert Saleh, and Robert Saleh certainly was going to be accommodating and certainly one of his, if not the most important player on his offense, a rookie, the kid out of BYU with the Wilson. So the bottom line is, was it not that Salah was saying, listen, I'm willing to talk philosophy with you. I'm willing to talk about life with you, but you want to talk to LaFleur about some of the things you need to know about the offense and being a quarterback in the NFL. So I guess that's true.
Yeah. Salah definitely wants him to go to Mike LaFleur for the answers about quarterbacking, and Rob Kalipers, the quarterback coach, he doesn't really want to get involved in that aspect of it, the technical aspect of it. Now, he did say that Zach Wilson asked him a lot of questions about the defense and coverages and what he can expect in certain situations and why the defense does this and why the defense does that, and kind of picks his brain about that. So I think that's probably a pretty productive conversation. And obviously they have, you know, head coach to quarterback conversations about, like you said, life and philosophy. And, you know, I had asked him earlier this week, have you had to give him a pep talk? You know, because he got banged around a little bit. Not too bad, but after the scrimmage last week, there was some, you know, there was kind of a negative feeling about him. He threw two interceptions. There were some questions. And so I thought there's a little angst in the fan base this week, Steve. I don't know if you felt that in your callers. And, you know, but Salah said no. He said this kid is unfazed. He's fine. He doesn't need that. So, you know, they're going to be partnered together. The Jets hope for a very long time. And for Salah's sake, he needs to hope this kid is really the real deal and can keep him here for a long time. So I'm sure their relationship is going to grow through the months and years.
And Josh Johnson, who's really the backup quarterback that no one wants to see. How many teams has Josh Johnson been on, Brian?
He's been in several leagues, Steve.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll even make the team, Steve. He's the fourth quarterback right now. Yeah. I can't really figure out why they brought him in at this point.
Right.
I thought maybe they were bringing him in to give the guys a little bit of a rest, because there was only usually you have four quarterbacks in training camp to split the reps, you know, and they only had three. I saw it, but he hasn't really gotten that many reps in training camp. He's only been there doing a little bit, so. You know, I think Mike White is probably going to be the backup quarterback when the season gets here. But, yeah, Josh Johnson, this is his second stint with the Jets. Probably I don't know. People remember the 10 days he spent with the Jets in 2015. It wasn't that memorable.
Yeah. And you're right about the four leagues, I think. Well, it's four, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I can't name them, Steven. A lot of them are gone and no longer exist.
Well, now, Wilson, of course, he's going to be starting, but he is not going to be the only rookie starting. Am I right there, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow night's going to be a little different because a couple of them are hurt right now. Elijah Vera Tucker, left guard, who was their second first-round pick, is dealing with a pec strain, which he's been out for about a week now. He's not going to play. And then Elijah Moore, who has been a dynamic player in training camp, the wide receiver, their second-round pick from Ole Miss, he injured his quad yesterday in practice. You know, they were doing tests. We didn't really get an update on that, but I can't see any situation where he'd play tomorrow. Now, when the season gets here, I think those two guys will be in there if they're healthy and recovered. So you'll have them. But also Michael Carter, who's the fourth-round pick. I don't think he'll start, Steve, but at running back, he's going to play a lot. He's going to rotate in.
Sure.
And on defense, they have a linebacker, Hamza Nasir-el-Din, who I think he's going to be the starting linebacker. So there's going to be a lot of rookies playing on this team right now and contributing. And if you extend that to second-year players, there's even more. It's just this is a very, very young football team.
Yeah, and again, the food poisoning with Mims and the salmon.
Yeah.
What was going on there?
some bad salmon in the spring, and it really set him back, Steve, because he was throwing up for 14 days, lost 20 pounds, wasn't able to practice in the spring. And this is a guy who really needed needed an off season because coming out of Baylor last year, you know, Baylor does not run a very complex offense. He hadn't seen a lot of complex defenses in the Big 12. I don't think they play defense in the Big 12. And then last year, there's nothing in the spring last year because of COVID. And then he gets hurt the day before training camp started. No preseason game. He gets hurt in training camp. And he really dealt with injuries all last year. So then this year he comes in, a new coaching staff, and he gets to learn a new offense. And he doesn't have a spring because of the food poisoning. So he entered training camp, Steve, behind. He's playing catch up right now. And that's led to him being further down the depth chart than maybe people anticipated as a second round pick last year. But I think he is catching up, and, you know, we'll see how his preseason goes. I think the preseason games are very important for him to sort of win over the coaching staff.
Yeah, and here's, you know, with the Jets, should, you know, Zach Wilson, before we leave with him for just a second, one more question with him. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance from what you see? Now, it's only 10 seconds. He hasn't even played a single exhibition game. So, but you have seen plenty of football in your time, and you have covered the Jets forever. And so do you think that with Zach Wilson, Brian, and we're talking with Brian Costello of the New York Post and the Fan, of course, on the Jets, do you think that as we saw with Joe Burrow, as we saw with Justin Herbert, they, when they got the opportunity as young babies already in the NFL, made a difference right away? Have you seen anything, and you were alluding to before with some of the negative with the interceptions that he has thrown. However, have you seen anything that might give you the impression that when it does start for good, with so much of the unknown, how he's going to perform even during the preseason here, but have you seen anything that might give you the impression that when it's for real in September, that Zach Wilson might remind you of starting off right away in a very positive direction?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far, Steve, and those guys you mentioned. I mean, I think they were surprised, right? The Chargers didn't even start Justin Herbert, right? They had to, the doctor had to puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung for him to get in there.
Yeah.
So that tells you, like, he didn't show a lot last summer that made them think that he was going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, obviously, the number one pick. I hesitate to go that far. I have seen, he obviously is a very talented player. He the ball comes out of his hand quickly. He makes a lot of good throws in practice. I want to see him in preseason games. I want to see him in regular season games. Right now, I haven't seen him in play where they can tackle him, you know? And I think he's a hard player, Steve, to judge in practice, because if you look at what made him rocket up draft boards last year at BYU, you heard terms like off schedule, right? When the play breaks down, he can make things happen. Mm-hmm. He can throw off of any platform. He is a good guy when things aren't going right. He can run, roll to his right, throw to his left. He can scramble. He can run.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen in training camp, Steve, right? What the goal is in training camp is to make the play look like it's drawn in the playbook.
Right.
Like they're trying to execute it perfectly. That's not what this kid is. There's a little bit, and he's kind of like Darnold in that. Darnold is a similar player like that. I think there's a little bit of, you know, magic to him when things break down. We haven't seen that in camp yet. So I still need to see a lot more before I'm going to say, oh, he's going to be Justin Herbert this year. I also think I'd have to look at, you know, the Chargers had Keenan Allen. I'm not sure the Jets have a receiver like that. You know, but he has better weapons around him than Darnold has already. But I need to see more before I'll say something like that.
In free agency, they picked up a couple of guys that you would like to think is going to help the growth and learning with Zach Wilson, Corey Davis. They picked up Keenan Cole. Are these guys making their presence felt during practice, Brian?
Yeah, Cole had a really good spring. He really stood out in the spring. He's got a little bit of quieter training camp. Corey Davis just seems like just steady, Steve. Like, he's not a guy who makes amazing plays every practice, but he's just always kind of open, always catches the ball when it's thrown to him. They look like they're still building their chemistry. They look a little bit off some days, just not on the same page, but I think it's getting better and better. And I think that was a good signing. I don't think they overpaid for him. I thought it was a reasonable contract, and he's a professional. Look, he was the number 5 pick in the draft at one point. He really didn't live up to that in Tennessee, but he's coming off his best season there. So I think they're catching him when he's entering his prime, and they might have something there.
And what about with Carl Lawson? I know that when he was with Cincinnati, he was always getting into somebody else's backfield. He didn't have a lot of sacks, if I remember correctly, Brian. But he was getting up close and very personal with a lot of quarterback hits. How's things going with Carl Lawson?
He looked phenomenal in camp. I mean, if I had to pick the MVPs of training camp so far, him and Elijah Moore, they just, you know, every day Carl Lawson is in the backfield. Huh. He's in Zach Wilson's face, which that's been a hard part too for Zach Wilson. He's going against the first team defense. They're not the 85 Bears, but they're professionals. And Lawson's been in his face a lot. He's just seems very motivated, Steve. You know, very excited that he's now the guy, that he has his chance in Cincinnati. He wasn't even a starter until last year. So this is really a chance for him to prove that he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, like he believes. And you're right, he didn't have a lot of sacks. He had a lot of pressures, a lot of guys got in the backfield, but now he needs to turn them into sacks. And, you know, the funny thing about training camp, Steve, is the good news for the Jets is Carl Lawson has looked unblockable. The bad news is that Mekhi Becton is the one that's been trying to block him. So I always wonder how the head coach feels when he's watching someone dominate his practice and he's looking over and go, well, that other guy's getting dominated at the Jets, too. So it's been interesting watching those two go back and forth. I think it's a tough matchup for Becton, and it's probably going to make him better in the long run. But Lawson's just been phenomenal in camp.
Yeah. Was it Mosley who made the remark that because of Becton, that he was blocking the sun?
That was another lineman. They're huge guys. And they like look at him and say, you know, it's unbelievable when you see Becton in person. And then you realize he's standing next to guys who are like 6'4", 3'10". And he makes them look small.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. But that the funny thing about Lawson, Steve, like, he's a shorter guy. He's not tall. So that's what makes it tough for Becton. Like, a guy with Becton's size, it's hard for him to get low enough to block Carl Lawson. There's not many pass rushers like him. That's the good news for my guy Becton. They're usually bigger than that. But he's so fast that I think he's going to be, how long they've been searching for a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, John Abraham, sure, the last legitimate pass rusher they had, and so maybe they have one now with Carl Lawson.
Yeah. And was it smart on the part of the Jets to get that guy from the Saints, Sheldon Rankins?
Sheldon Rankins?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a good contract. It wasn't that much, and he's a former first-round pick. He had injury issues in New Orleans with his Achilles. He said they're corrected now. He's had surgery to correct them. Mm-hmm. If they can get what he was, he had a really good year, 2018, 17, 18, somewhere there with New Orleans. If they can get him back to that, playing like that before the injury, he'd be something. Especially the defensive line looks good with Lawson, Quinn and Williams, and Sheldon Rankin.
Yeah.
That's a good start right there. And solid system. You know, think about San Francisco with Bosa and Armstead and Solomon Thomas. Like, he's defensive line centric. They're going to be running up the field. They're not going to have to worry about, hanging back with thinking about things. He wants them running straight ahead, rushing the passer, getting in the backfield, causing havoc, which that could be the strength of his defense, Steve.
Yeah, and listen, and you know as well as anyone that the offensive lines in the AFC East are very strong. And which brings me, of course, back to the offense. It is so important with Zach Wilson that he be, Brian, to be protected, to have enough time, to not be panicking in the backfield and certainly not to be feeling the kind of heat and pressure that defenses are going to want to put on him, being the rookie that he is. Bottom line is, you have to have a good defensive line and a good offensive line. Do the Jets have enough on the offensive line to give protection to a guy like Zach Wilson?
I think they're going to be a lot better than they've been, Steve. And at least Joe Douglas is trying. the last few GMs didn't really try to fix the offensive line. They tried to nickel and dime it. He now spent two first-round picks on linemen with Becton and Vera Tucker. I thought a really underrated signing that's going to pay dividends for them is Morgan Moses. Steve, that guy's a pro. Look at what he did in Washington. He never missed games. He's out there. There's a competition right now between him and George Fant for right tackle. I expect Moses to win that competition. And I think that gives them, a pretty good core there. Connor McGovern, the center, he had a hamstring injury last year early. I don't think he was ever right. But if he can, just elevate his play a little bit. And the system will help, Steve. This is the old Shanahan. This goes back to Mike Shanahan in Denver. And God, the line blocking open those holes for whoever's back there, right? Denver used to go through a different running back every year, and they'd have 1,000 yards. So I think the system's going to help. And then as far as pass blocking, you're right. They have to protect Zach Wilson, but at least they're attempting to do it. Think about it, Steve. They dropped Mekhi Becton last year in the first round. the last lineman they drafted in the first or second round before that was Vlad Dukas in 2010. Mm-hmm. It's been 10 years since they took a lineman in the first or second round. Mm-hmm. So at least Joe Douglas is attempting to address the position, and I do think they'll be better this year.
Yeah, and you think Becton is going to remind with DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who never missed a game, Brian.
Yeah.
How many it starts in, 11 years? He never missed a game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Becton's already missed. He's already not DeBrickashaw. He already missed time. You know, and Moses, it's funny, Moses went to Virginia, where DeRickashaw came from, and Moses doesn't miss any time. I said to him, I'm like, what's with you Virginia guys? Like, you guys are never going to hurt. DeRickashaw not only never missed a game, Steve, he never missed a practice. And he was never on the injury. And the way the injury report works is if you go to the trainer's room and they have to, you know, tape your finger, you're on the injury report. They have to report that. So he never even had treatment. It's just phenomenal for a player of that position. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think people appreciate that about DeBrickashaw.
And Mangold was there forever too. Should only be with the I mean, you're talking about two of the best ever. A Hall of Famers they should be.
They're hoping that Becton. I don't know if I put them in the Hall of Fame, but they're just Hall of Famers for sure.
Yeah.
But they're hoping that, you know, now you got Becton and Vera Tucker.
Yeah.
They're hoping those two could be together for 10 years, just like Mangold and DeBrickashaw were.
Sure. Brian, are they going to be good? Are we asking Jets fans again to be patient?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think they have to be patient. This is not the year. I mean, they're still very young.
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback. There's going to be a lot of growing pains this year. So I think the good news is they have two first-round picks next year, two second-round picks, a lot of cap space again. They have to just stack these off seasons, and then maybe next year they can contend.
Yeah. All right, Brian, I can't thank you enough, and enjoy your weekend upcoming. And, you know, we'll talk again soon, and we'll be looking in, of course, tomorrow evening, exhibition preseason game number one. Brian Costello of The Fan, New York Post. Thanks so much, Brian. Be well.
Thanks, Smoozer.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.